still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another very special episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. We are so blessed to be with you, and we invite you to go more deeply with us into this great adventure of marriage and family at ilovemyfamily.us. ilovemyfamily.us. There you will find many awesome things, but in particular, we direct you to the Live It Gathering Guide. Live It, Image the Trinity. Families become who you are. It is an opportunity, a tool, if you will, to foster talking and praying together, in particular, focusing on the upcoming Sunday readings.
So we have an extraordinarily special episode for you tonight because Stephanie and I are very blessed this week to have 5 days on an incredible retreat with the Acts 29 Father Ricardo community and just going deep with some amazing brothers and sisters in Christ who are very much engaged in ministry and mission. And gosh, it's just been such an incredible time. So in place, we are delighted to have the permission of Matt Frad to air an extraordinary episode of Pints with Aquinas, his interview with Gabriel Castillo. When I heard this, I began maybe a week ago listening to this going on a run, and I thought, you know, when's the last time you heard a very compelling testimonial of somebody's life who gives witness to the fullness of our faith, our Blessed Mother, the riches of the sacramentality, all that God is offering us in this day from a vantage point of not really having grown up with that? We can all stand to experience such testimony, and Gabe's testimony is really, really remarkable. So with no further ado, thanks to Matt Frad for letting us air this episode, and Gabe, for your incredible testimony. It is a 2.5-hour program. We're only going to fit an hour of it in, but I think you're going to be very, very moved. So sit back, pour yourself, depending on the time of day, a scotch, a beer, wine, water,
cup of tea,
whatever you do, you're really going to appreciate this episode. It's very much going to touch you. With no further ado, Pints with Aquinas, Matt Frad's interview of Gabe Castillo.
Gabriel, good to have you. Good to have you on
the
show.
Are we starting?
Yeah, this is it.
I love it. Great.
I love that you brought a shrine with you.
Dude,
this is fantastic.
I'm a naughty boy, and Our Lady has to keep a short leash on me because loose lips sink ships, as they say.
Yeah, I've nearly been sunk by my own loose lips multiple times, but it's really nice to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
I think the first time I ever saw you, you were giving a talk, and it was on YouTube, and this must have been, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago even. And I just remember thinking that you were very much like Jason Everett. Do you know Jason?
Yes. People used to tell me that you're like the young Jason Everett. And then I would respond, he's like the old me.
But there's like a, you have this sort of stability, you seem to have, because I don't know you. You seem to have a sort of stability in your spiritual life that seems very constant in the kind of devotions you promote and talk about and engage in. And the two of you seem very devoted to Our Lady. It's a big compliment. I love Jason Everett. He's a dear friend.
And the thought came to me that you have to maintain the charism of the founder. He's not my founder in any way, shape, or form, but he was influential in my life when I was in college.
Was he?
One with the chastity stuff. But what stood out to me the most from him was he was giving a talk to teens and he told them, my spiritual director, his spiritual director, told him that to do a talk without first making a holy hour would be an act of pride. Mm. And so that for me stood out. I was like, oh my gosh, I better do a daily holy hour if I want to impact lives. And then he also wore the miraculous medal as a sign of his consecration to Mary. So I wear the miraculous medal. And people are like, hey, Gabe, you're the miraculous medal guy. Jason was the miraculous medal guy first.
Right? Yeah. You were inspired by him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The first time I ever met Jason Everett was in an adoration chapel because I flew to England. I was living in Ireland at the time and he was giving a big chastity talk. And he, you know, they do a holy hour every day. Yes. And then I also visit the Blessed Sacrament before he would talk just for a short amount of time. So that's funny that that's where I met him.
What a great reputation. I met you in front of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. And then I've just been noticing your videos. They're so beautifully done. And I obviously saw the one you did with Tammy Peterson recently. So thanks for all the work that you're doing.
It's truly the fruit of the message. So I've got a message that I promote and it has been the fruit from the very beginning, the very first time we hit record, just sitting in my car, to large scale productions.
Have you always been involved in production and
no,
cameras?
Not at all. Everything I learned watching YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, I literally started out with a phone. And so Mother Angelica, as you know, she was very big on if God is calling you to do something, do it, and he will provide the means after the fact sometimes. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, we literally, I have no background in anything other than I got a degree in theology.
So all the stuff that takes place in your channel, like the beautiful testimonials and all that, are you the main guy who's setting up the lights?
So
and
that's the crazy thing. People think that we have a production team.
Yeah.
It is literally just me. I have an assistant. Okay. Like her position is literally assistant to youth ministry director.
Okay.
Like that is her full-time job. And she just helps me with editing. She helps me set stuff up. So like this is like garage.
Yeah,
but we make it look polished.
It does. It looks excellent. So are you a youth minister then?
Yes, youth minister full time.
Okay, in Houston.
In Houston, one of the biggest parishes in Sugarland.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've got a great community.
Yeah, you probably know I got married there and lived there for a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, were you at St. Anthony of Padua in the Woodlands?
My wife used to be there. I met her and she was working at St. Thomas More. Mm.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, St. Thomas More.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Annie Hickman.
Yes, I know the Hickman, yes. Wow, what a small world. Sometimes I go to adoration at St. Thomas More.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Golly, wonderful stuff. So how did you get into the faith? Are you, you and I are the same age.
Right.
People will think I'm 10 years older, but that's not true.
No. You look great. no, seriously.
But my conversion, I was 17, but what about?
I was raised by my mom, single parent, only child. My mom did the best that she could, but she had to take two jobs. So most of my life, I was a latchkey child, which is, 50% of the country today. Mm-hmm. I was raised by MTV. I was deeply impacted by a terrible television show called Sex in the 90s.
Okay.
And so it was giving me all of, because I, not having a father, not knowing anything about sexuality, not knowing anything about the meaning and the purpose of my life, it was saying sex, freedom, all these licentious activities. And so that was my mindset through high school. Fortunately, my mom did a good job in sheltering me and not giving me money or freedom to go to parties. So that kind of like closed me in a little bit, and I did very good academically. Mm-hmm. And so I received a very large scholarship to go to the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Mm. And there, the philosophy and the intro to theology really opened my eyes to the truth of the Catholic faith intellectually. So I was like, that's why concupiscence, I get it. That's why I'm so messed up. Yeah. That's why I make my mom cry. That's why I ruin all the relationships that I really care about. It's because I have a disordered inclination to do bad stuff.
Mm.
That makes so much sense. But I wasn't converted in my heart. And so a lot of my classmates, I hung out with the best of the bad kids and the worst of the good kids. Mm-hmm. So they were like, not horrible, but they weren't good. They weren't good, but they weren't terrible. They were like doing drugs and alcohol and things like that. But that's what, many college kids were doing. And they were going into the RCIA program to receive the sacrament of confirmation. And so I was like, these guys are barely Catholic and they're getting confirmed. I want to get what they're getting because I believe this stuff intellectually. So I can do the same stuff and receive the sacraments. I had no.
So you're in college. You hadn't yet been confirmed.
No, I had not.
Okay.
So I made my first communion when I was in the 8th grade. Okay. And then after that, I never went back to church. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like a formality, check the box, make my grandmother had passed away and she had mentioned that was important to her before she died, that I make first communion. But other than that, the only prayer I knew was like a superstitious prayer to St. Jude that all Mexicans seem to have. And my mom thinks, or she says that she's Mexican.
Are you okay?
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Like my skin is white.
Uh-huh.
My mom's skin is white, but she speaks in Spanish.
Okay.
And, answers the phone in Spanish. So I think she thinks we're Mexican. Love you, Mom.
I mean, is your grandparents from Mexico? Or?
Our family tree is very shady.
Okay.
Everybody that I've ever met looks really white,
uh-huh.
except for my mom's sisters, which look very Mexican. I have no idea what I am, to be honest with you. I don't even want to do 23andMe because I don't know what's going to come out.
Okay. Yeah.
So I went on a retreat through the campus ministry and I didn't know anything about the Eucharist. I didn't know anything about Eucharistic adoration. And they're like, we're going to go do a holy hour with Jesus. And I'm like, all right, what do you mean by that? I don't want to look like an idiot. What are we going to be doing? He's like, we're just going to sit there and look at Jesus, like a picture of Jesus. What are we looking at? No, the Eucharist. I was like, that little circle? Yeah, that's Jesus. I was like, no. Yeah, that's Jesus. I was like, so what do I do when I go in there? And there was a philosophy professor. His name is Dr. Rebard. He said, you just go in there and repeat the holy name of Jesus. It's like, for an hour? It's like, yeah. So I went in there for about 10 minutes. I just repeat the holy name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then about 10 minutes in, a warmth came over me and I heard an interior voice say, my son, be quiet. And I was like, oh no, Jesus. He's like, stop talking. I was like, Jesus. And in an instant, it was as if the finger of God touched my soul, and my heart was like a rock, and everything inside of my heart melted, and I just started bawling and weeping. And this was before The Passion came out. And I was having, so I didn't have this in my mind before. I was having what I didn't know was like a moment of mental prayer where I was visualizing scenes from The Passion, Jesus looking at me in the face, telling me how much he loved me, how much I was loved. And I was just bawling for like 45 minutes straight, nonstop. Afterwards, people were like, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? Like, that's not normal. Well, you're like sobbing, like hard.
Like a little bit of crying, like, would have been fine.
This was like ugly crying. Like, get this guy out of here. He's a distraction. And no. I just kept repeating. I was like, that's really Jesus. Like, God is really there. But, and so I became radically Eucharistic. Like, I would spend every day in the church. But I didn't stop sinning. Like, I was still, so I became a Eucharistic minister, and I didn't know better at the time. I wouldn't do that now, but I was becoming a Eucharistic minister, giving out Holy Communion, and then I would go and commit public mortal sins, like, every night, because I was just, like, I was living two different lives. And the campus minister, an amazing, amazing sister, she'd previously given me a brown scapular, because she told me that I was on the highway to hell, and I was like, sister, is this how you start conversations? She's like, when I see somebody who's on the highway to hell, sometimes I have to say hard things.
Was she at St. Thomas More? St. Thomas St.
University, Aquinas. Yeah.
She was one of the sisters there. Is it the one with the black veil thing?
And
the,
yes. And the long brown simple habit with like a cross that's two nails.
She came up to you and said, you're on the highway to hell?
Yes.
How did she know that?
Was a spicy sister. Because
it sounds like
she was spicy, but I loved it. I loved it. Because I mean, there was a like a talent show, and it was for campus ministry, and I went up and told a dirty joke during the talent show.
Okay.
And she was like super offended by this.
Oh.
And so after I had this major conversion, she saw the changes in me. She saw that I was Eucharistic minister. Mm-hmm. She also saw that I was living a life that is not compatible with Catholicism. And it was around Lent, and everybody in campus ministry was like, what are you giving up? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I was like doing the typical chocolate soda thing. And she said, how about you give up sin, Gabriel? How about you stop sinning mortally and publicly? That'd be a good.
How did she know you were doing this?
Because everybody knew. I was.
Well, you were going to parties?
I was going to parties. It was just very obvious. Okay. It was like I had girlfriends. It was just very obvious that I'd like public displays of affection.
Yeah. And did she say this to you in front of other people?
I don't remember. I just remember her face in my face telling me, give up sin for Lent.
Now, because of your pride, were you offended by that, or did you feel loved?
No, I was shocked.
Shocked, yeah.
I wasn't offended at all. When she confronted me with the truth, but I had never thought about it. I thought that it was okay. It was really strange circumstance. So that day I said, I'm not going to sin for Lent. And I went home, and if this was a cartoon, it would say 2 hours later. And I had looked at pornography and committed solitary sin within 2 hours of making a very, very, very firm resolution that that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And so that night I recognized I have a problem. I've been sinning my entire life, not because I want to. Like I really didn't want to, and I did. I have no control. Mm. And so I had a moment, I guess, of true contrition, and I was in my room and I was crying like a hard cry and begging God for mercy. God, have mercy on me. I'm a poor sinner. I'm a slave. I didn't know that I was a slave. Help me. And when I said that in my prayer, I heard the exact same words repeated back to me audibly from a diabolical voice. And it was like, it was a very high-pitched screeching, mocking, insulting. And I don't know where it came from, but immediately I said, St. John Vianney, pray for me. I have no idea where that came from. I had no devotion to St. John Vianney. Maybe I had heard about him somewhere, but it was like instinctual. The moment that happened, voice goes away. So the next day, I was afraid to go home because, you know, I audibly heard this. This was not a mistake. This was not an interior. This wasn't like I felt guilty for sinning against the Lord. I did feel guilty the night before, but this was not like I was not dreaming this up. So I went to campus ministry. I got a pamphlet on the rosary. I went into my room. I'd never prayed the rosary by myself before at that point. I got on my bed and I just sat there and I was like opening this packet. And I said, all right, how do you do this thing? I believe. And the second that I said, I believe, a force grabbed me by the throat, pins me on the bed, holds me down. The room is like spinning and ice cold. I try to scream for help, but I'm being choked. I could still breathe, but I couldn't communicate because I was trying to yell for my mom in the other room to come and help me. And I heard an interior voice say, I believe it's my guardian angel now looking back on it, pray. And so I was like, I couldn't pray. And he said, pray the Hail Mary. And I was like, I couldn't say the words. And finally, the interior voice was like, and this all happened within, like, it feels like an eternity, but it was like a 10-second, like, lockdown. Say it in your head. And so I got the words in my head, Hail Mary. And internally, when I said those words, I felt like a release. And then so I said it audibly, Hail Mary. And the words Mary left my lips. The presence left the room. Mm-hmm. I came back to, and after that, I was freaked out. And so I got on the internet and I typed in Google, you know, demon choking you, pornography, masturbation.
You gotta be careful typing that in.
Yeah. So, and thanks be to God, a website that doesn't exist anymore, which I wish it still did because it was very helpful to me at the time, called Padre Pio Center for Deliverance came up. And then they used the language of, do you have hooks in your life? Do you have intrinsically disordered things in your life that are entry points for the devil? And they listed out, you know, bad movies, bad books, bad music, new age books, false God statues, pornography. They had a whole list of basically every possible mortal sin. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. And then my mom at the time, she was very much into new age because she didn't have an authentic Catholic spirituality. So she had Buddha statues, African little like faces, elephants all over the house, which apparently she just likes elephants. That night I went to bed. I made a resolution. All that stuff is gone out of this house. So she went to work. I took everything, put it in a trash bag. I took her statues, smashed them in the front yard. It was not a pretty day when my mom arrived home the next day.
You have been listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live, Matt Frad's interview of Gabe Castillo on Pints with Aquinas. We encourage you to check out all of our other programs anywhere great podcasts are platformed. Check out our home base at igniteradiolive.com. And we are so grateful for your partnership at ilovemyfamily.us. Help us to make homes places of ever-deepening encounter, saint-making cultures. Click on that partnership tab again at ilovemyfamily.us.
That is powerful. Wow.
Yeah, it changed me. I was never the same after that.
I'm trying to think what I would do if something like that happened to me. I mean, did you speak to trusted friends or about it?
And I talked to another sister.
I think part of me would be afraid that I was overreacting or imagining it, or just got sort of emotional in a sort of prayer experience. Of course, you're describing is far beyond emotional.
And somebody tried to tell me, oh, you had sleep paralysis. I was like, I was standing straight up.
And
something was holding me down, trying to get in my chest.
Yeah.
And I said the name of Mary, and I don't have a relationship with her, and it went away in an instant, like instantaneously. And so I told this sister, who's now, I think, deceased, God bless her, Sister Madeline Grace, about everything that had happened. She's very famous at the University of St. Thomas as being strict, all these strict, good, holy women. She's like, you did the right thing. She's like, you did the right thing. If I was living in your house, I would have burned and trashed all of those things. She was like, just deal with the punishment. But then this was the greatest blessing of my life. Like, I don't say it out loud, but in a way, the devil saved my soul. Because, one, I saw that this is all real.
Yeah.
I saw the power of the Virgin Mary. The power of the Virgin Mary is so great that a mortal sinner, years of mortal sin, and I had had that demon of lust. I believe it was a demon of lust. I don't know for sure. I had had that since I was probably in middle school. And I had never known it. I'd never realized it. I thought that I was just doing what would make me happy. And with just saying the holy name of Mary, I was freed. And not only that, but I was given the opportunity to see that I was a slave and I needed help. Mm-hmm. And I had to, again, this website was very helpful because it said, if you're going from darkness to light, you must go completely all the way in into the light. Everything about you must be Christocentric, rooted in Christ. The music you listen to, the programs you watch, the art in your home, everything must belong to Christ or the devil will not leave you. Yeah. And so that started a journey of fighting against mortal sin. I ended up changing my major. I was doing very bad in my theology courses that were required. Like, I think I took Intro to Sacred Scripture 3 times because I failed twice or got D's in it. Mm. And then all of a sudden after that moment, all of my theology grades went from D's and F's to hundreds. And the theology, where before it was so foreign to me, was like second nature, just all made sense, which the Catholic faith just makes sense. So I wouldn't even take notes in theology class anymore because I was just absorbing it and it was making a huge impact on me. And the Lord, through divine providence, he would put the best spiritual books that I needed at the time. Like I had no history in spiritual classics. Like I ran into The Story of a Soul by St. Therese. I ran into The Life of Anthony by St. Athanasius. One that was profoundly impacting was The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, which is like the essence of all holiness.
Everything. I just reread it last week.
It's gold. Like, and I come back to that. I'm like, why do I ever make things so more complicated than they really are? So that, and then I came across the biography of Mother Angelica, which was...
Who wrote that one?
By Raymond Arroyo.
Yes, it's excellent.
Oh my gosh. I read that.
The audiobook is phenomenal. Oh, go download
life,
it.
Life hack, audiobook that.
It is really worth it.
And people love Mother Angelica for the things that she provided on her program. I love her for the way she did it. Mm. I love her for the way she did it. So she provided for me a living... concrete example of a person who's alive today, who acted in faith, who did not follow conventional wisdom, who saw Christ as a person who was journeying with her, asking her to make difficult decisions, and she did them. She did them even though it didn't make sense, even though the church was against her, even though her friends were against her, even though her family was against her, and God provided because she thought she was doing God's will, and God's not going to lead anybody astray. That, I read that book like 6 times, but one chapter in particular really, really stood out to me because I love the University of St. Thomas. I love it. My priestly professors, incredible. They formed me to think very, very powerfully. I've got a very analytical mind. Great. But there's a chapter in that book where Mother Angelica is confronted by this priest who actually also lived in Houston for a time. His name is Father Robert DeGrandis. He's very big in the charismatic renewal, very charismatic priest. And on a regular basis, he would... pester Mother Angelica, can I pray over you, Mother? And she would always say, no, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I was baptized. I received the sacrament of confirmation. And so week after week, he would constantly come back and she would constantly say, no, no, no. But on one occasion, she said, if you will just leave me the you-know-what alone and I let you pray over me, can you just bug off? And so he said, oh yeah, I just want to pray, Mother. I just want to pray. And so he prayed over her and... nothing happened. And a couple days later, she was in her room reading the Gospel of John, and a sister comes into the room. And when they say, Mother, dinner's ready, she speaks in a foreign tongue. Hmm. And she can't stop speaking in a foreign tongue, so she just covers her mouth. And then from that day forward, there was a fire in her that although she was a faithful woman, that she didn't have previously. And that when she read the scriptures, and she's very famous for reading the scriptures in a way that the common man can comprehend and feel like if you're there. From that day forward, her love for scripture, her zeal and her confidence in the Holy Spirit was never the same. So I was like, I want that. I want that. I want a living faith. Because no offense, again, my priest, Nemo Dot Quod Non Habit, they teach you a lot of things. Like, you cannot give what you do not have. They didn't have a fire and a spark that I was feeling like from the Gospels Christ wanted. He said, I've come to set the world on fire and how I wish it was already blazing. You're going to do greater things in my name. And everywhere I was going, it felt like those things don't happen anymore. But in the life of Mother Angelica, I saw that they were happening. So I wanted that. So I asked my friends, I was like, hey, you guys want to go with me to the Charismatic Center? And they're like, heck no, dude, those people are possessed. Are you crazy? I hear they cast out demons over there and they don't even use the name of Jesus. They were acting like what I was suggesting was absurd and mad. Mm. So one night I got the courage to go to the Charismatic Center.
Mm-hmm. Companions of the Cross.
The Companions of the Cross. Yeah. Yes. Yes. They're incredible. I'm so glad we kind of run in the same circles.
Yeah.
So what I witnessed there was people acting crazy. There was a man running up and down the aisles, praising the Lord. Mm. There was an old woman in a wheelchair, moving her wheelchair back and forth, praising the Lord. Uh-huh. The homily lasted 45 minutes to an hour, but the priest was crying and like on his heart was bleeding.
Yeah.
And he was begging people to repent of their sins and to come to Christ and just surrender your burdens right now and come forward. And so all, and they were like, put your hands in there. And I was like, and I'm not that kind of guy. So I was like, nope, not putting my hands up. Like, put your hands out. So I was like, not going to do it. You're not going to emotionally manipulate me. You guys look like idiots. But then the little voice inside my soul, my conscience was like, yeah, but don't they act like they have faith?
Mm.
Don't they act like the gospel is real, that the Holy Spirit is real, that God is real and he keeps his promises? And I was like, yes. Fine, I'm not putting my hands out, but I'll open my heart a little bit to this, because I was like freaked out, especially because all my friends were saying they're crazy.
Yeah.
So afterwards, they were doing this, like praying over each other, a healing service, and I didn't have the courage to go up. And there was an older gentleman, and he was walking out, and I stared this guy down hard. I was like trying to stare a hole into his soul, and he felt it. Like I was just like staring him down, and he's walking down the aisle and he's like, young man, is everything okay? I was like, no. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, I need you to pray over me so that I can receive the Holy Spirit. And as he was praying over me, I had an awareness. I have the Holy Spirit. I've had the Holy Spirit. I was baptized. I received the sacrament of confirmation. I'm in the state of grace. I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need this. But so that was my awareness then, that God was wanting me to just give my entire life to him.
Mm-hmm.
And although I said to myself and I heard interiorly, you have the Holy Spirit. You've always had the Holy Spirit. You just didn't want it bad enough. I was different after that. That night I went home, for better or for worse, mom, I'm sorry. I went home and I convicted my mom of all the sins that she had been committed, that she was away from the church for so long.
How did you do that? And how did she receive it?
Not well.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
But did, no, but not just how did she receive it, but did you share well with love, do you think?
I was too zealous.
Yeah, I've been there, man.
But it worked. So I don't know if I was too zealous.
So exactly.
I convicted her and I said, I've been going to Mass every day, every Sunday by myself. Mm-hmm. I went to Christmas Mass all by myself. I went to Easter all by myself. You're the only person I have in my life. I need you to come to church with me. And so she'd start going to church. Later, I'm a very strong man. When there was a lot of butting of heads, but I will tell you, my mom is probably the holiest woman I've ever met today. I look at her and I'm so proud of her. Mm. She goes to daily adoration. She's like a rosary warrior. She fasts for me 48 hours straight, no food. She is a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say I was too zealous. I could have been more loving, but I don't that it would have worked. And I did that with a lot of people in my life and it worked.
Yeah, no, it's a good point you bring up, because I certainly in my early days of my conversion, I was extremely zealous. And I could tell you a list of the things that would just sound crazy and which I wouldn't do today. But I think it might be even my pride that looks back and winces, kind of cringes at that. Whereas like, no, the Lord uses you in the moment with the amount of knowledge you have. And so... Yeah, I mean, I had similar experiences where I was proclaiming the gospel at parties, reading the gospel of Matthew to
people.
You're
not, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, but and so is it like, okay, have I learned more or have I become more of a coward? You know,
right.
Sometimes we just look back on our early days of enthusiasm and we think, well, that wasn't so prudent.
Right.
It's like, well, maybe.
Or maybe I'm making excuses right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we do the best we can in the present moment, and then our Lord brings good out of it. I was still struggling with mortal sin, and thanks be to God, there was a great priest at the University of St. Thomas. He's also passed. His name was Father Kelly. He looked like Jabba the Hutt, very large man, very large. He could not stand or walk, and he had a very booming voice. And he called me Mr. Garcia instead of Castillo. He'd say, Mr. Garcia, I want you to talk to me after class. And then I'd go into his office. He's like, you need to go to confession. I said, excuse me? He's like, you're sinning and you're struggling with sin and I'm going to help you. And I said, all right. And so I confessed. I looked at pornography. I've committed solitary sin this many times. He's like, the next time you do that sin, you come in here and you tell me. And I said, okay, yes, Father, I will. And he says, and for your penance, you're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and a rosary for the souls of those people that you're watching degrade themselves.
Mm.
And I said, all right, anything else? He's like, no. And then I went to confession with him every single day for like a year. I don't recommend people do that. I don't think that's a good idea. If people are struggling with pornography, I do not, because it can become a cycle.
Yeah.
I do not recommend people go to confession every day.
Right.
I do not. I just wouldn't recommend it. This was a special case. He was giving me counseling. He was being a father to me, a father that I didn't have, showing me the mercy of God the Father, forgiving me 70 times. And
were you ever afraid, as many people are, that he'd just kind of get fed up with you?
No. Not at all. This man had the heart of a father. Well. Yeah. Oh, he was so good. He was brutal and he was vicious. And he even threatened one time to hit me in the private spot with a cane. He said, boy, if you don't get an A on this test, you're going to be singing soprano. I was like, what? He's like, I'm going to rack you with my cane.
All right.
And what I found was that when I prayed the rosary, I had a special strength, and temptation, although it existed, didn't impact me as much as it normally would. Mm. And so it took me personally praying 4 rosaries a day for me to stay out of mortal sin.
Is this back in college?
This is in college. Yeah. I never put 2 and 2 together. I never put like the idea of this is the, you know, the rosary is Our Lady presented to Dominic was the Psalter, the 150 Psalms. I never put any of that together. It was just a period in my life where I recognized I don't want to sin anymore.
Yeah.
I'll do anything necessary. And if that means dying 4 times a day to pray the rosary, so be it.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you think about the amount people endure for bodily health or fitness,
yes,
or to look well,
yes,
the amount they put themselves, yes, through. They get up at 4 a.m, they have a cold shower, they work out of the gym.
Yes.
And so you're, exactly, becoming Mary's athlete.
And we live in such a soft time where people will say, that's too difficult. And I love reading Teresa of Avila because she's like, she's a doctor of prayer, but she's also like a tough woman. Mm. Teresa of Avila, because she's like, she's a doctor of prayer, but she's also like a tough woman. Mm. And she said, you find meditation difficult? You find it dry and boring? There's no way on God's green earth you would have made it at the crucifixion. Mm. You're called to be a follower of Christ, and sometimes that means taking up your cross and following him to difficult places. And if you can't pray, if you're going to quit on prayer, are you a follower of Christ? Like, these are her words, and I'm like reading this, I'm like, whoa, sister, whoa, you're a tough woman. I try to discern my vocation to the best of my ability. This is back in a time, this is like 2004 or 2005. There aren't as many resources. Yeah. So I just would go to the Blessed Sacrament and surrender my life and say, Lord, what do you want for me? Do you want me to become a priest? I'll become a priest. Do you want, yep, me to become a teacher? I'll become a teacher. What do you want? And one day, very clearly, I felt like he was saying, I want you to become a teacher. You have a spirituality that I want you to share with others. And I said, okay. And so I focused my degree track on theology and philosophy. And I said, Lord, I'll give you 3 years. Like, I want to have a family. If I'm going to be a father, if you're not calling me to the priesthood, I need to be able to pay bills. And Catholic school education, except for very few churches, the wealthy parishes don't really pay the bills, especially I want to have a lot of kids if this is your plan for me. So I've, thanks be to God, got a job at the best, the wealthiest Catholic school in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. The best, top 1% in the entire world. And I was thoroughly disappointed in myself because I was ineffective as a teacher. Mm. I wasn't reaching them. My goal was, I'm going to share with you what got me.
So this is the high school you're saying you're teaching at?
Seventh, okay. 6th through 8th grade I taught. And so I thought I was going to go and I'm going to help these young kids to avoid the pitfalls that I had in high school.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you. Yeah. I'm going to give you spiritual weapons and tools. And for the first year and a half, completely ineffective, completely ineffective. And I, thanks be to God, I don't know how it happened. I do know how it happened, but it's a long story. I went on a retreat for a religious community from the Philippines whose priest was purported to have gifts of reading souls, working miracles. I don't want to say his name because he's not public right now. Mm. And I went on this retreat and he was preaching a lot of things. This is around the time before Benedict XVI did the reform of the reform, started giving communion, kneeling down on the tongue, etc. This priest, who happened to also have been, I think, a canon lawyer under Ratzinger at the time, was saying at this retreat, very private retreat, don't receive communion on the hand for these reasons. And he gave all these specific reasons about the particles, about lex orandi, lex credendi, yes, how you pray impacts what you believe, impacts how you live, your union of a body and a soul united. So things I'd never heard before. He said, receive Holy Communion kneeling down if you can, because your posture impacts your disposition.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I've got to go to confession because everything this guy is saying is true. And he was saying, you need to make a, telling the community there, you need to make a general confession. I want you to confess everything you've ever done that you can remember from the age of reason. And so I prepared for like 2 hours, made a general confession, bawling the entire time, because when you make a general confession, which you shouldn't do regularly, maybe like very few moments in your life, you look at every mortal sin you've ever committed. Mm. And so even if you've been going good for the past 3 or 4 years, you look back at a lifetime of sin, a lifetime of breaking people's hearts, a lifetime of disappointment and failure, millions of times maybe, I don't know. I was in tears and bawling, and the priest said, you know, you've hurt a lot of people. And I said, yes, Father, I know. He's like, and that's making you feel guilty, yes? And I said, yeah, I feel really guilty about it. He's like, do you want to make up for it? I said, yes, I'll do anything. He said, for 1 year, pray the entire rosary every single day for 365 days. After that, don't look back. Mm. Offer this in reparation for all the people you've hurt. Ask Our Lady to bring good out of all the mistakes you've ever made, and don't look back. So I was praying the rosary before, but then it became a lifestyle for me, a rule of life. And I didn't know that, you know, how much discipline is needed to make this a rule of life. But then my teaching exploded.
Really?
My students became like saints. Literally, I have documented miracles that happened in the classroom where students were laying hands on other students who were deaf and healing of deafness.
All right, now you need to explain this.
So
what happened?
So I've got a lot of stories.
Let's do the deaf one.
Okay. So when I started praying the rosary more, when you're praying a lot, Our Lady begins to break through and speak to you. So she began to make my lesson plans. And she said to me, again, this is all interior. I'm not having visions. This is all common to every man, the discernment of spirits. Mm-hmm. She was saying to me, what converted you? I was like, well, you did. And the Holy Spirit and how real he is, and treat the gospel like if it's real. And so she said, so you make the kids write out a list of surrender of their entire life, accepting the charismatic gifts as you believe that they are distributed, and do that. And so I gave these kids a list of surrender, renouncing lies, accepting Christ, denouncing the devil, and all these things. And the most unsuspecting of all my students, the quiet kid in the corner that nobody pays attention to, and I'm embarrassed to say I didn't pay attention to him. I barely even knew his name. I know it now. He came up to me after adoration one day and he said, Mr. C. I was like, yes. He's like, Jesus told me to sing to him. I said, what? He's like, yeah. So I sung to him and I was like, what? And I was like, what did it sound like? And then he's like, you want me to do it right now? So he was talking about speaking in tongues.
Okay.
I had a student whose mother worked in the school, and she was partially deaf in one ear and losing hearing rapidly in the other ear. So she was like at 75%, no explanation, bones, some movement in the bone was closing off the hearing in her ears. Mm. I should also add that as I began to preach and teach Our Lady's will, I began to have conflicts with administration. The kids were wanting to go to confession weekly. The kids were wondering why they only offered confession at their school once a week. Why does Father ask the kids to come to the altar to hold hands and sing? And so there was like, there was some, why are all these eighth graders going up to communion with their arms crossed all of a sudden, like out of nowhere? So there was, Catholic education in the United States at this point was not prepared for authentic Catholicism, like a rich living of the sacraments, unleashing the lion that is the teachings of the Catholic Church in their fullness, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So there was a lot of fire going around when this healing happened. And one of the student who was deaf, her mom worked at the school. And she had just told me at lunch that same day, my daughter says y'all are doing some charismatic weird things in the classroom. I don't want any of that stuff going on. So it was kind of like, oh, dear Lord. But anyways, I'm not thinking that when this is happening. So this young boy comes up to me and he says, the Lord told me to sing to him. And I'm like, dude.
To sing to who?
To the Blessed Sacrament. He said,
oh, okay,
he was singing. The Lord told me to sing to him in the chapel.
Yep.
And I was like, well, sing to me now. And then as he's saying that, this young woman comes into the classroom and I said, stop, sing to her. And I said, and I'm not going to say her name, even though I think she went to Franciscan, actually. I said, come over here. He's going to sing to you. And so he's like, what do I do? I was like, I don't know, dude. Put your hands out or something. Because I had seen this on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Uh-huh. This is the only exposure I had to this other than the Charismatic Center. And so he like puts his hands out and then he's like, but then he like starts shaking and vibrating violently that he's holding the chair. He's like, Mr. C, help me. And I said, dude, what? I'm like not a teacher at this point. I'm like, what the heck is happening, man? He's like, I feel like electricity is flowing through me. This is eighth grade, in between classes.
You have been listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live, Matt Frad's interview of Gabe Castillo on Pints with Aquinas. We encourage you to check out all of our other programs anywhere great podcasts are platformed. Check out our home base at igniteradiolive.com. And we are so grateful for your partnership at ilovemyfamily.us. Help us to make homes places of ever-deepening encounter, saint-making cultures. Click on that partnership tab again at ilovemyfamily.us.
This girl is like, her eyes are as big as like silver dollars. And the bell rings. I was like, dude, go to class. Afterwards, the young woman is sitting in the back. And I talked to her. I was like,
I'm sorry.
Did you feel anything? I was like, he said he was going to sing. I'm sorry. I don't know what he was doing.
If that was weird for you, I want to apologize. I was like, please don't tell your mother.
I was just trying. How did you interpret what just happened? Because I recognize now how imprudent it might have been, especially for me academically. I might lose my job over this.
Right.
And so she's like, well, it was beautiful. I was like, what? She's like, the singing was so beautiful. I was like, I didn't hear any singing. And she's like, I did. It sounded like angels were singing. And I was like, wait a second. Can you go stand over there in the corner?
To clarify, this is the deaf girl?
This is the deaf girl.
Okay.
So I was like, can you go stand over there in the corner? And I'm going to say left or right. And I'm going to turn around and you turn around.
Knew she was deaf at this.
Yes, yes. Because I felt like she was going to be healed somehow. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know if I had to lick my finger and stick my finger in her ear.
Mm.
Like,
I'm telling you. I would, but no.
I thought about it. I'm telling you. I was like, the gospels are real. Let's see. I'm not Jesus, but darn it, he is, and he can do this. And so I would be like, so she turned around. She'd raise her right hand to left hand. I'd be like, left, 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 right, left, left. And this is across the room at the same volume that I'm speaking in. And then I was like, you should go see your mom. And then...
And did she realize at this point that she got a hearing back?
I think she was starting to freak out a little bit. This is right after class. She was in my homeroom at the end of the day. She walks down the hallway. She's all the way at the other end of the school in the same hallway. I turn around. I stick my head out the door and I say, I'm not going to say her name. I said her name. And she turns around. I just said it in a low voice. And she turns around and I said, you can hear. And then her mom heard this coming. She comes out of the classroom in tears and she said, you healed my daughter. I said, I didn't touch your daughter.
Brandon did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she said, you facilitated the healing of my daughter. I was like, that was all the Lord. And we had moments like this. So kids were having visions. One kid was saying that he was praying and he felt like a fire was burning up the school. And I was like, well, what did you interpret that as? That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah,
I was like, was that like a good thing or a bad thing? He's like, no, because people were worshiping God in this fire and they were happy. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. But the administration.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Ear woman.
Yes.
That's what we're going to call her.
And oh, let me tell you. So that was Friday. The next day she comes back. She had a medical exam on Monday.
That's what I was going to ask.
And the doctors claimed they have no idea how, but the bones moved back to where they were originally.
Oh, that's so cool, dude. Wow. Wild. So what, I mean, did this get around the school? Did people hear about this? And
yes.
What about those who were sort of against this weird charismatic stuff you were doing? How did they respond?
The thing is, I was too charismatic for the traditionals and I was too traditional for the charismatics.
Mm.
I was doing both and.
Mm.
I was telling the kids, I was teaching them, well, you can
kneel
receive.
To receive. Yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't letting girls be altar servers.
Yeah.
I was saying, having the girls do the readings. I distributed to them chapel veils. I was talking about everything that's in the catechism that an eighth grader needs to know. And so although the miracles were great and we were having prayer sessions afterwards, I got a message, and this is all, no offense, but you can only blame the man at the top. It's just a different generation of priests, good priests, men who stepped up when nobody else was becoming a priest, but they're just a generation of, I don't want to say boomers, just a generation of men who are soft and aren't stepping up to be a sacrificial father for the sake of the sheep. And so the vice principal, whom I loved and loves me, her son became a priest, had to come and say, "Father says you can't do this anymore." Mm. "What, like what? Pray." I was like, "You can't pray anymore?" He's like, "Yeah, this is not a healing ministry." And I said, "All right, we won't." And then more run-ins with Father where they said, "You can't talk." And I have the paperwork. I saved all the documents. "You're not allowed to talk about mortal sin. You're not allowed to talk about purgatory. You're not allowed to talk about hell. You're not allowed to talk about human sexuality. You're not allowed to give out sacramentals. You're not allowed to X, Y, what am I, is there anything I'm left to do?"
And you can say, "God is nice and he likes you."
Right. And so they hired a teacher to sit in my classroom because it was the kids were loving it. The kids were loving it. The parents were loving it. It was just something.
All right, so I can see there being an argument for why you might want to dial back the charismatic stuff.
Yeah.
Because that can get really weird really quickly.
Right. Yeah.
Like all humans, especially when you bring emotion into it in any respect, it can get weird. So I guess I could see an argument for, especially if maybe there was weird stuff happening.
There wasn't. No. There wasn't.
By weird stuff, I don't mean inappropriate stuff. I just mean people getting carried away.
No.
No.
We were just praying over each other. Like the kids would, I wouldn't touch the kids. The kids would pray over each other and then they would, but that was really the low, like the charismatic stuff wasn't the bigger issue. So like the promoting of the rosary, promoting of frequent confession.
That was the thing.
Yeah. So I got called in. So they hired a woman to sit in my classroom, whom I love, and she converted. She started being more fervent, praying the rosary every day. It was just God's providence. It was the Lord's will. The Lord was showing me everything. I say everything I learned about evangelization, I learned teaching middle school. Everything I learned was in middle school.
So they put her in the class to sort of monitor you?
To monitor me, yeah.
That's going
to
be awkward for you.
It was great. It was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. One of the best things. A lot of good things.
Why was it?
Because I had somebody over my shoulder and I had to weigh everything that I said, which was very stressful and left me very, very cynical afterwards because this was my only, because I hadn't been Catholic before, so I didn't have a spiritual father at a parish. I did not grow up with priests around me. Yep. So it made me sad and depressed and dark feeling because I said, man, everything that Mother Angelica said about the church in the United States in the 60s and 70s was true.
Yeah.
Like these men don't, they're not, they're good. They stepped up. They're offering the sacraments when nobody else would, but there's more to be done and they don't want to change to the establishment. They're very much like the Pharisees when Jesus showed up. I'm not saying that I'm just saying when authentic Catholicism, like the true religion shows up and they just didn't want anything to do with it. And so they called me into the office, even though I love the principal. I love the vice principal. I love the woman who was with me at that throughout this time. We became such good friends. One of the questions he said is like, "Did you really say that when you die, you're going to regret not having prayed the rosary every day?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. Because when you pray the rosary, you're saying, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. Think of the thousands of Hail Marys that are going to come to help you at that moment. Just one rosary a day." And he said, "I would never say that." And I said,
"Yeah, I wouldn't say that either."
Well,
we can go back and forth about that if you want.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And then he said, "You're gone." I said, "Cause I responded. I was like, well, Father, maybe you should say that. Maybe you should be concerned with people's eternal salvation."
Yeah.
And he says, "You don't have. I was going to offer you your job back, but you're done here." And so, but it's not bad because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now.
So when did that happen?
This happened in 2009.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my students were converted, deeply, deeply
praise the
converted.
Lord,
eh? And their parents, because of it, were also converted. And so they took their money out of the school and reached out to the neighboring pastor and said, "This is what happened. We will pay for him to work here for an entire year." So I came across these Steve Jobs videos and they were old Steve Jobs. Before he invented the iPhone, before he invented these other things.
You don't mean he's your actual friend.
I see. I have a problem. People that I think about a lot or saints that I talk to a lot,
sure,
I will say they're my friend.
That's okay. All right. So these videos from Steve Jobs.
So one in particular, he said, "When you recognize that the world is made up of people who are no smarter than you and no better than you, and that the way we do things, for the most part, is simply because somebody who wasn't as smart as you thought that that's the way you should do it. And when you recognize that, and you realize that if you push in on the world, something's going to come out on the other end. If there's something you don't like, if there is a change that you want, If there's an end that you want, you have the ability to impact it and change it. And at the same time, this worldly thought was entering my mind about the state of the church. And Benedict XVI at that time, that's when he started giving out Holy Communion, kneeling down and on the tongue. That became something very passionate about mine. Our Lady and the Rosary became very passionate for me. And so I recognize that the number one way to make impact on the world is through the media, that the church has failed by and large to be in the media, to do it well, to make it free, just like the church of old in the Renaissance times. We're known for the most beautiful art, the most beautiful music in all of history came from Catholics. And now it seems as if too many people are afraid to be on the front lines, to use a technology that God has made available through good men or bad men. It doesn't matter. The technology is available. And so that led me to begin to dream about and pray about and discern. Again, all of this is the fruit of praying the rosary, mental clarity, little tuggings on the heart. There, I came across a film contest. I'd never made films before. There was a film contest called the Goodness Reigns Film Contest. It was to go to World Youth Day in Spain in 2011. And they had a lot of money. People give a lot of money to a lot of things. You should give your money to Matt Frad and to myself just because we're reaching a lot of people. You got to support good ministries. So I came across this contest that had a lot of money involved, and they had various film categories, sacramental life, moral life, all these categories. And so I had been a really big fan of St. John Bosco. His life was very miraculous and mysterious. And so I had heard of a story about how he had been in the confessional, and he had a line full of boys who hadn't been in the confessional, and they weren't coming in to go to confession. And so John Bosco offers a prayer to the Lord. Lord, why are these boys not coming to confession? And the devil appears to him and says, well, there's three traps that I use to keep boys from coming to confession. And then he goes on to these traps or whatever, right? And so I was like, this would be a great short film. This would be great. Because I've got, you know, I've got a camera. It's a long story, but God help me. So when my wife and I got married, I told her that God was calling me to make movies. And she said, sounds great. You have no money. I said, if the Lord gives us $6,000 to $8,000, I'm going to use that to buy a film camera. And she said, great. If the Lord gives you $6,000 to $8,000, be my guest. So at our reception, we're at the Doubletree Hotel. It's a very famous event. We call it the Doubletree event. Everybody got food poisoning. And the hotel offered me specifically $8,000.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Hey, this is at your wedding, the reception?
Your wedding reception, yeah.
Everyone got food poisoning at your reception?
Except, yeah. Everybody was had diarrhea and vomiting. They're shooting out of both ends.
I mean, how was your honeymoon?
We didn't have one.
Yeah.
We didn't have
so
one.
You got sick as well.
Because my wife almost died. She, like, I found, I came home from school that day.
Gosh, you could have got so much more money.
My wife, I love you. I'm sorry that Matt and I are talking about how much money we could have gotten if you died.
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I mean the fact that you nearly died. You
I know, but my wife
them.
Doesn't like suing people.
No, I don't either. And I'm glad you got. So that's amazing. So how do they? This is amazing.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is like crazy story after crazy story. So I had $8,000. So I had a film
camera.
How
did they write to you, call you?
They called me because a lot of people went on the news and they're like, please get out. Don't go on the news. Protect us. Don't tell anybody. It's like, sure, I won't tell anybody. Next on Pints with Aquinas, Dave talks about getting food poisoning. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, $8,000 is nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, I didn't know. I was a kid.
Sure.
And I spent $8,000 on a camera in 2007, which the cameras aren't like
all
today.
The suffering of that diarrhea and vomiting got you the camera.
But so I had this film camera to do this film contest.
Okay.
And I'd never filmed anything with it besides family videos. And this is like one of these shoulder cams.
Yeah.
So I win the contest, hands down, easy. I should say, oh gosh. So I made the kids' parents sign a waiver about film and photo. I said, okay, boys, this is what I'm doing. You go in there and you pretend like you're confessing. I'll pretend like I'm the priest and I'm pretending like I'm absolving you. I'm filming myself, etc. So I won the contest.
Is this video online?
Yeah. It's
Can
called,
we intersplice it here?
Please do. Yeah. All right. I'll send you the link.
All right.
And so I win the contest. My pastor calls me into the office and says, Gabriel, I saw that film you made. Next time, one, ask me. Two, please don't rub your hands all over the confessional screen. Because I don't know what the priest does on the other side. So I'm like, may God absolve in the name of the Father and the Son.
What a line. Please don't rub your hands all over the confessional screen.
I said, I know, Father, but I asked, I'm sorry, I'm asking for mercy instead of permission.
Oh, yeah.
So I won the prize money.
Now, what about filming these boys in line?
I had the waiver signed.
Yeah, yeah. But did their parents get upset after that?
No, they didn't care. They were thankful.
So are you proud of the film? How long ago was that short film?
It's really good, actually. I think that you could show it to a group of high school students today, and if they watch it, they'll go to confession.
Wow.
It's not so much the quality.
Now, what are you having these boys confess?
No, presumably they're just pretending.
Oh, you don't hear them speaking.
There's no words.
Right.
But I pretend to be the devil over their shoulder whispering, and that. Oh, murder. Yeah. Oh, all these just made up sins. Some of them boys might have committed. So I win the film contest. I win $4,000 because I need a new camera because technology.
It's not food poisoning money, but it's not bad.
No, it because now the technology is with mirrorless cameras. So I see you're using mirrorless cameras. You know that the size is much smaller. The quality is through the roof. Mm-hmm. And then the owner of the company, of the film contest company, says, I know I promised you $4,000, but we really need you to come to Spain. And I said, I'm not coming. I need the money. And she said, please, please just come to Spain. I was like, I'm taking the money. And
she said, that was like their alternative gift?
Yeah, you could either go to World Youth Day.
Oh, I see.
Or you could take the $4,000 cash prize.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, how about this? I will go to Spain if you give me the money. And she said, fine, but can you do some films? Can you do some documentaries? And then maybe how to make videos, which I had no experience in making videos at this point. This camera was totally automatic that I was using prior. Again, I have to reiterate, all of this is the fruit of praying the rosary. All these crazy ideas are the fruit of praying the rosary. I can take no credit. I am a bad, sinful boy from Houston, Texas, with a single mom, not raised in the church. Like, I have to reiterate this because it sounds crazy. So I go to Spain, go to World Youth Day. I absolutely hated it. I almost died. I will tell you a story that I almost died in Brazil at World Youth Day also, but no offense. God bless World Youth Day. It's wonderful. Everybody should go to World Youth Day.
However,
I did not like it. It just seemed too many people, and they made it sound like you're going to see the Pope.
What do you mean you almost died though?
Well, we'll talk about it in Brazil, because I literally had a gun to my head in the Brazil World Youth Day. Okay. So I go to World Youth Day. I have a miserable time because it's hot. God's still
counting my blessings. You have been listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live, Pints with Aquinas, Matt Frad's interview of Gabe Castillo. That's all we could fit into an hour-long program, but it goes on for another hour plus. Strongly encourage you to check out this program. It is very, very moving. And we're so grateful for your support of our mission, of our movement at ilovemyfamily.us. Please help us continue to expand this mission of making homes places of ever-deepening encounter with Jesus Christ. Go to ilovemyfamily.us and click on that partnership tab. Thank you so much. God bless you. No, I can't count that high.